He said, America has been blessed by Jesus through his gospel. But he said, it is his gospel, and it will work anywhere there's faith in God.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner begin a study on no compromise. As we hunger after the Word and stand for faith in God, we will see the blessing flow into all nations on earth.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want you to know something before we even get started here. I'm telling you, God is moving on this property here in Fort Worth, Texas. We're actually in Newark, Texas. It's just a little small town just west of Fort Worth. And the Spirit of God is just, I mean, He is just shifted everything up into a higher gear for about the last two and a half, three months here. It has just been marvelous. And so I want you to get ready right now because, I mean, the glory of God is in this room. It is just a powerful thing. And we're going to have some really, really good things happen on this broadcast today. Now, another thing, before we pray, all of the study notes for this broadcast are online right now, just waiting for you to go to kcm.org/notes. You can follow everything that Brother Rick and I say. All the scriptures are all there. Anything that the Holy Spirit manifests and so forth, it'll all be there. And so you can just get on there right now, kcm.org/notes. And of course, they don't cost you anything. No expense, no excuse. Okay? All right. Father, we thank you today for your word. Mm-hmm. We open our ears. We open our hearts to hear from heaven. And we thank you for revelation of yourself, sir. And we are seeking you. We are hungry for you, and your word says if we hunger and thirst after you, we will be filled. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me today in welcoming Brother Rick Renner to this broadcast? Rick.
Hello, Brother Cole.
Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, it is always such a joy to have you and Denise and the family. We just love you so dearly, and you've been such a vital and important part of our lives and ministry now for 20 years.
Well, a new part of ours.
And so it's good when family comes home from way over yonder.
You know, the moment I walk on this property, I feel like I'm home.
Well, you are.
I feel that. We feel that we're a part of this family.
Yes, sir. You belong here, man.
When we see you and Gloria and the rest of the family, it's just like, it's so good to be here.
Amen. Now, for those of you that maybe not acquainted with Brother Rick's ministry, he is an apostle to Russia. God sent him there. He's been in ministry there for many years. And they're just uncommon, miraculous ministry and in every aspect of it. And I wish you would really detail and chronicle all of the things that God has done and said to you about and all the experiences you and the family have had. That's a real book just begging to happen.
Well, maybe I'll do that.
You inquire of the Lord about it. You can tell him I ask you to do it if you want to, but
I'll do it.
But it blesses our hearts so that I know it blesses other people.
We have seen history change right in front of our eyes.
Y'all, you've been living it all these years.
We've been living church history. We've been living Russian history, and Brother Copeland, to see our family so fully immersed in the Russian culture. I mean, our sons speaking just almost perfect Russian, preaching in Russian, ministering to a Russian congregation in that big new building we just dedicated.
Tell me about that building now. I was shocked. I was blessed. I was just wow, what? It's that kind of a miraculous happening, particularly when you told about the representatives coming over and being there at the dedication for that facility. Oh, Gloria, and I just wish so much we could have been there.
There were 22 members of government who attended the opening of our church, including four who had been sent by President Putin to give an official greeting from the presidential administration. And Brother Copeland, we were so shocked at the things that they said. They quoted scripture. They talked about where two or three of you are gathered together, Jesus is there. I said, Denise, are you listening to what he's saying? It was just a wonderful moment. And the next day, there was an article that came out in 18 national newspapers, but in one particular, it announced what I did not know, that we had just constructed the largest Protestant church building in Russia. I didn't even know that until that appeared in the newspaper. And it was interesting because what showed up in the newspaper told everything about us. And I said, well, Denise, if we ever wondered, now we know. There it is. And they talked about our outreaches. They talked about how long we had been in Russia, that our kids are Russian speaking, that basically we're adopted people. And that building, you know, I thought about you while we were doing that building so many times, because you teach about doing things by faith and debt free. Well, in Russia, churches do not have the liberty of taking a loan. So we never had the option of anything except believing. And I just got the report about a month ago on what was the full cost of the building project, and it was $18 million.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Now, Brother Copeland, the big praise God is that $12.5 million of that came from Russia.
That is so blessed.
Is that amazing?
Is
that something?
Yes, it is.
And I have to tell you that I believe that your teaching, which is broadcast all over the former Soviet Union, has radically affected what people believe about giving.
Praise God, Rick. Man, Lord, thank you for that. My. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now this is important for you to be thinking now about where you are and what you're doing. God's talking to you about building the church. God's speaking to you about going to some other nation, someplace. Hey, He is not sending you there to become like them. He's sending you there to bring the blessing of the Lord into the place. So don't be surprised if He sends you to some famine-stricken place. I mean, that's the way God does business. He's sending you there to break the famine. He's sending you there to break that curse, because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and you know it, and you and I are agents of the blessing.
You can absolutely bring the blessing of God into any environment. I'm thinking about the church that you are the friend of in Nigeria.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that is, according to the natural, that would be impossible. But for that campus to be built by a local church is just, it is the work of the grace of God.
Absolutely. And there's there is no denying what God has in His heart and on His mind for His people. And when, you know, like you were talking about Bishop David Oyedepo.
Right.
And someone said, well, that's that American prosperity gospel. And, you know, David's very soft-spoken. He said, no, Jesus wasn't born in America. He said, America has been blessed by Jesus through His gospel. But he said, it is his gospel, and it will work anywhere there's faith in God.
That's right.
That's what you're saying, isn't it?
It will work anywhere. Anywhere where people will work it and will believe it. It works.
That is so rich. Man, I can hardly wait to get over there and get in that pulpit. I've been wanting to come.
Oh, you man. You have an official invitation to come. It is just so beautiful. You step into that auditorium, and Brother Copeland, when I walk into that auditorium, I a little bit tremble. I mean, it is such a sign and a wonder that in that environment, something could be built debt-free.
Rick, how many new churches have been built in Russia in the last 20, 30, 40 years?
Well, not many. Not many in Moscow. Now, there are little churches scattered all over. Russia's 11 time zones.
But I'm talking about where a congregation of people got together and believed God, built a new building specifically for a church. I know the church you built in Lafayette, that was the first on-purpose church.
That was the first.
That had been built in that nation in who knows how long.
I know that our building in Moscow was the 25th to be dedicated. The 25th since the collapse of communism. So that's not very many.
No.
And so we're just grateful. We're grateful to you for your support and your help and to all your partners. Thank you for what you do around the world.
Amen. I know you came here with a message on your heart.
I did.
Let's get to it.
All right.
Amen.
You ready to begin?
Yes, sir.
Let's begin in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to cover chapter 1 where we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This book is people usually refer to it as the book of Revelations. But it's not the book of Revelations.
It's
the revelation.
One revelation. The revelation.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to begin with the word revelation in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. We'll talk about John a little bit, but that word revelation, we often talk about having revelations, or God gave me a revelation. It is the Greek word apokalypsis. The word apo means to remove, and the word kalypsis describes something that is veiled or something that is undercover. But if you have an apokalypsis, somebody has removed the veil so that you can see through to the other side. An example would be a picture window with a curtain. What's on the other side of the curtain is there all the time, but you're not able to see it because of the veil. But when you have a revelation, the Holy Spirit suddenly removes a veil and allows you to see something that's been there all along, but you've never been able to see.
And could we add to that it is something without his revealing it, not anybody going to see it?
No one.
Ever.
It's a divine parting so that you can see something new.
Oh, man, that's so rich.
And so when you come to the book of Revelation, the primary revelation is in chapter 1, where John sees Jesus in his exalted state. Now, John had not seen Jesus for nearly 60 years. And he had carried in his mind one image of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, the touch of Jesus. And now suddenly, the veil of the Spirit parts, and we'll see how that happened. And John looks into another realm, and there in front of him is a revelation of Jesus like he has never seen. And that's why he calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now, 60 years at the right hand of God will change you.
That's true.
And I mean, hey, don't you know it was an unspeakable, stunning moment? That is so rich, man.
And John had so longed to see Jesus. I mean, for 60 years, he had carried the memory of that voice, the memory of that touch, and suddenly, the spirit realm parted, and John looked into the spirit realm, and there stood Jesus like he had never seen Jesus, glorified with a face that shined like sun and a sword that went out of his mouth and eyes like fire. And all of those points are so important.
Oh, that's good.
But it says, unto his servant John. And I don't know if your viewers are using an ink pen or not when they're studying, but they should circle that word John.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you come over to verse number 4, it says John. It repeats John again, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Then when you go over to verse 9, it says, I, John. And John is drawing attention to himself. And he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we've discussed before how John ended up in the Isle of Patmos.
Mm-hmm.
John was in his 90s, living outside the city of Ephesus in a little community on top of the hill. You can still go there today and you can see where John lived and you can see eventually where John was buried. But John was arrested there and he was arrested for his faith and for the testimony of Jesus. And he was sent to be tried before Domitian. And if Nero was a wicked leader, he was just a precursor to Domitian. Domitian had called himself both Lord and God and absolutely was against the Jew and the Christian. Isn't that interesting? The Jews and Christians always seem to be in the same camp.
Well, always, yeah. The devil can't tell the difference. Well, they belong to God and they're covenant people. He doesn't have revelation. All he has is a working memory because he lost his anointing when he fell. And when he sees a Jew, when he sees a Christian, he sees the same thing. These are people that have access to the blessing. And the blessing is the worst thing that ever happened to the devil. He has no defense for it. He can't stop it. And these folks operate in that name, which is above every name that is named. So, man, I mean, it's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. But he doesn't know that there's any difference between them as far as being his enemy.
Well, Domitian had it out for Christians. And he had John arrested because John was the last surviving apostle. And if he could do something to torment John, think how he could terrorize the rest of the church.
Well, now that's interesting, Rick. That never occurred to me. all the rest of them had been killed.
They had. And John was the only one not killed.
And this is and you know what? And this is the one that was the apostle of love.
That's right.
But this is also the one that wrote, a man that'll keep himself in love, that wicked one touches him not. He declared it, didn't he?
He sure did.
He declared it. Now, the apostle Paul, he made a deal. Amen. They couldn't have killed him. He accepted a better resurrection and let him have his head. Yeah. He said, I've finished my course. And it's time and I'm ready. So in order to accept a better resurrection, he allowed them to take his head.
But you know, if we believe the book of Acts, which we do, the last years of his life, he lived in a pretty good environment.
Oh, we did, yeah.
He lived in a rented house. He was able to receive everyone who came in to see him. I mean, Paul was living in pretty good circumstances, even though he lost his head.
He proved it, didn't he?
He did.
Rick, I'd like, now that this has come up, I really would like to hear your commentary on this. God revealed, Jesus revealed to the Apostle Paul the inner workings of the kingdom of darkness and the rank and file of demonic spirits and all these things, just information. He revealed things that that Peter would write later. He called them scripture, but he said, you know, they're not easy to be understood. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have to spiritually discern what the man's saying. He called his writings scripture. Jesus told him in the very beginning, and this is what I'd like to hear your take on. He said to Ananias, the man he sent down there to lay hands on him to receive his sight. Mm-hmm. And he said, I have shown him what he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Apostle Paul and Jesus had a working covenant between the two of them. I believe Jesus called him and appointed him to prove in the field this new covenant, to prove every aspect of it, to work it out, to walk in it, walk it out, and prove that it is exactly what it is, the Word of the living God, and no power on earth can withstand it when it is put into operation by faith. Mm. And that he didn't just go out here and go to work and it just seemed like it was just a lot of bad stuff happened to him. No, he knew exactly what he was getting into and he agreed to it. Man, that makes him champion of champions, doesn't it?
It does. And Brother Copeland, he had abundant supply for what he did. You know, the Bible talks about that they took the aprons from his body, and some people teach that was his working gear because he didn't have enough money to do the ministry. He had to have a part-time job. That is absolutely not what those handkerchiefs and aprons. That referred to high dress clothing, actually, which they took from his body and took to other people. It proved that he was actually living a very prosperous ministry.
And we're out of time.
Yes, we are.
Well, all right. Amen. Glory to God. Brother Rick and I'll be back in just a moment.
Download your free copy of the BVOV broadcast study notes now at kcm.org/notes. Use them to follow along with the broadcast during your personal time or for group Bible study. Now you can put your ears and eyes on God's message of victory to plant it deep in your heart. We're believing this additional ministry tool will benefit you, bless your study time, and will help you to grow from faith to faith. Go to kcm.org/notes today. We're here for you. No room for compromise. That's what Christ is saying to the church of today. Rick Renner, noted author and speaker, draws upon years of research and study, brings together thorough historical, biblical, and prophetic insight in this comprehensive volume about the Church of Pergamum. Although written about the ancient church, this message is still most relevant to the church today, which truly makes it a must-read for every believer. Take a virtual tour through his descriptive writing and see scripture come to life with on-location pictures and beautiful works of art. Historians and church leaders alike agree that this body of work is the very best of its kind. Experience a fresh hunger and a deeper reverence for God's written word. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church in our generation and be empowered to answer and overcome when your faith is challenged. Stand up for Christ in faith and make no room for compromise. Order No Room for Compromise, Rick Renner's new book, a resource of historic details and prophetic insights. Rarely will you find a book of this caliber. Available now for $70 Australian plus shipping. Phone us at 1-300-730-4433 or go to kcm.org.au. For Asia, go to kcm.org.sg. Stand firm in faith without compromise and live in victory. Order today.
As always, with your work, I tell you, this is Rick Renner's brand new book, just came out, No Room for Compromise, Christ's Message to Today's Church. Praise God. If you compromise what you compromise to keep, you will lose.
That's true.
So, it's like the first one you did. The dilemma is, do I look at the whole book first, or do I read the text and then go, man, I'm telling you, there is so much in this book, and it is so well done, sir. I am really, really excited about this. I just got my copy of it just a few days ago, and so I have not had the opportunity to spend the time that I'm going to spend with this.
Well, this is better than Volume 1.
Well, Volume 1 is pretty good, man.
Well, thank you.
You're telling me that this is better, huh?
This one changed me.
Well, tell us about that.
Because it's about the church in the last days and about no room for compromise and what Christ said to the church. And we'll get into that in some of the programs. But this book absolutely transformed my life.
Praise God. Well, you heard it, didn't you? Man, listen, you really, every believer needs to have this kind of material that goes along where you can study and see what actually happened, not somebody's idea. But Rick and his staff have gone to the places and have taken the pictures of the places right where they should be. Hey, you need to get a hold of this. And Father, we pray right now for all of this radio and television audience all over the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we hold them up to you. And we thank you for blessing them beyond measure. Mm. Listen, we're going to be in South Africa, and we need your help down there. You need to get on in there, May the 14th through the 16th at Rhema Bible Church in Randburg, in Johannesburg, South Africa. And we've got some things to happen down there, brother. And I'm telling you, this is time to be there. Praise God. Well, this is Kenneth and Rick reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
You can watch this Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast again at kcm.org. Remember to download your free copy of the study notes at kcm.org/notes. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. May 14th through 16th, the Copelands welcome you to the 2015 South Africa Victory Campaign at Rhema Church in Randburg, South Africa. June 5th and 6th, come experience the 2015 Peru Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland in Lima, Peru at the Eduardo Vivos Coliseum in San Borja. The 2015 Southwest Believers Convention, June 29th through July 4th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas.